While everyone is arguing over the implications of Charlie Kirk's assassination, everyone is missing a much bigger problem. Making Kirk an idol won't make us more of a Christian nation. It will make us less of one. Regardless of whether you think he was some great guy or not, he is just that, a guy. Building him up to be this hero, this supreme person, this human being deserving of everyone to exalt him. It's sick. It's not just cringy, but it's also a direct slap in the face to God. The right may say they believe in God, but their inability to understand, communicate, or model biblical virtues is a clear sign that God means nothing to them. He's a tool, a celebrity, a way to virtue signal for votes, donations, likes, and views. All those right-wing Christians and pundits who flail the Bible around and do all their evil politics in the name of God don't really mean it. This is not a revival. The right has not found God. They found a grift. Unfortunately, millions of Americans who claim to be Christians are propping up this grift while they bow down and idolize a man they didn't know who was merely an internet commentator. These people are supporting both false prophets and idolatry in one fell swoop. For a party obsessed with making Christian nationalism a synonym for America, they sure are quick to abandon God and replace him with the political savior of the moment. This is idolatry in 2025. You can't say anything negative about him. You can't critique his platform, his organization, or his tweets. You can't even repeat his quotes, because then everyone will just gaslight you into thinking that anything he said that was nasty is being taken out of context. And that memorial wasn't a memorial. It was a worship fest for Charlie Kirk. This event was a political rally couched in religion, while ironically exalting a human man. You know, someone dies every 11 seconds in this country. That's a lot of widows and a lot of orphans. Perhaps Christians should go take a look at the book of James and remember we're supposed to look after the orphans and the widows. All of them. Not just the famous ones. Not just the ones on TV. Christians lined up and spent an entire day worshiping at the feet of a man they didn't know. It was a day for idolizing him in virtue signaling. Think of the time and money that was spent on that memorial. A literal stadium was filled up with followers to worship Kirk. People even lined up to watch his body pass by in a hearse. But don't just take it from me. Take it from the Bible. Let's see what it says about idolatry. Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Now maybe you're thinking, hey, this is talking about idols way back in the day, in biblical times, like golden statues of gods. And this Charlie Kirk guy is just a person that the right really respects. Well, the right is literally trying to make graven images in the physical form of him and put his statue up all over the place. For example, Oklahoma is trying to pass a bill that would put Charlie Kirk statues on all state colleges. Texas and Florida are trying to do the same thing. Representative Anna Paulina Luna is demanding a statue in the U.S. Capitol. Crowdfunding has begun for a massive memorial statue of Charlie Kirk in Montgomery County, Alabama. And it's possible that Charlie Kirk's image could end up on new U.S. currency. These are literal graven images. It's pretty clear that these Christians who are supporting these type of actions have not read Leviticus 19, verse 4. Do not turn to idols or make metal gods for yourselves. And this isn't some faded away principle from the Old Testament about idolatry and idols. God's warning about idolatry is spread all over the New Testament as well. 1 Corinthians 10:7, do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. 1 Corinthians 10:14, therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. 1 John 5:21, dear children, keep yourselves from idols. And the Bible is quite clear that idolatry is more than just golden statues, too. Take a look at Colossians 3, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Idols can be an obsession with one's position. The scribes and Pharisees loved the honor, respectful greetings, and being called rabbi. Idols can be an obsession with one's wealth. Jesus said that no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and wealth. Idols can also be someone coveting something, and they can be someone's obsession with self-righteousness. Take a look at Matthew 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. This is the idolatry trap the right has fallen into. They become obsessed with practicing their righteous preaching at everyone on how to live their lives, how they're doing it right, and how they set the standard. But all the Christians that showed up to his memorial and put it all over social media and want you to know that they were there, bowing down to this human man, practicing some sort of righteousness they think that comes from it because they believe that he was a Christian. And God is pretty serious about how dangerous having idols can be. In Genesis 35, Jacob commanded members of his extended family to get rid of their foreign gods just before he arrived in Bethel. During the years of King Solomon, there was a continuing pattern of idolatry in Israel. At the end of Solomon's reign, Israel became divided. After that division, all the rulers of the northern kingdom of Israel engaged in idolatry, as many of the southern kings of Judah did as well. And let's not forget Matthew 15, verses 10 through 20, where it talks about the evil deeds that will spring up from an idolatrous heart. We can see an example from this from the first time the Bible describes the entire nation of Israel engaging in idolatry. They gathered to worship the golden calf while Moses was on Mount Sinai. They then turned to revelry, including murder and immorality, from that mere act of idolatry. And God's reaction to these idols is quite drastic, too. The idol of the god Dagon was twice knocked to the floor by God to show the Philistines just who God was and wasn't. There was even a contest between God and his prophet Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. This is a dramatic example of how God is the one with true power and that false gods are nothing. Probably the biggest sign that you're witnessing that shows the right is engaging in idolatry is their cult-like mentality over anything short of worshiping Charlie Kirk. They're freaking out about getting TV hosts canceled. The vice president is telling people to report those critical of Kirk to their employer to get them fired. The FCC is using its authority to target critics, and Pam Bondi wants to criminalize hate speech. This authoritarian hissy fit and bullying against those who choose not to worship Kirk is similar to what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they refused to bow down to a golden statue, King Nebuchadnezzar ordered the trio to be thrown into the fiery furnace. He was so enraged, he ordered it to be heated up 7 times hotter than usual. King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to make a public example of the three. He showed how disobedience would be dealt with under his reign, with vengeance and cruelty. And that right there explains what's happening to those critical of Charlie Kirk right now. They're being smited. They're being snuffed out of the conversation. Last week, I warned you that the political elite will use Charlie Kirk's assassination for gain under the guiding principle that you shouldn't let a good crisis go to waste. So now, after considering all that I've said today, take a look around the Christian right and their actions of Charlie Kirk's death. There's no space for God. There's only space for idolatry. And the Bible is clear that idols are worthless. And if you need a warning about what happens to idolaters, take a look at Jonah 2, verse 8. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. So let me ask you this. What happens to a party, a movement, to MAGA when they're idolaters? When their idolatrous ways cause them to turn away from God's love? What happens to a country that is run by people who have turned away from God's love? That's a question no one wants to find out the answer to. Now that you know where we've been, find out where we're going. Tune in to Ladies Love Politics, where you can stay informed without going insane.